This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people.
So, I was hate listening Teddy and Tamara's podcast.
Okay, don't lie. Was it actually hate listening? Because
well,
you enjoy them.
I enjoy Tamara because I find her highly entertaining. But this was actually Teddy and Emily Simpson. They do a recap of The Valley and VPR.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Narelle, when I tell you I was shocked at how much those two flippin' hate Ariana, I don't know how to actually put it into words. You have to listen to it. I shouldn't be promoting it, but I was horrified.
Hate her how?
They everything about her. Every time they brought her up in the recap, they somehow slammed her. It's like what we do with Sandoval.
What the hell? I'm never going to understand the hate that Ariana gets
for this. No. Like, and again, I'm not even an Ariana fan. Like, I'm not a hater.
To begin with. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you weren't one to begin with. So it's not as if you have this pre-bias that you're just sticking by. Like, you have flipped over there.
Yeah, yes. If anything, I probably disliked her more than I liked her. So I can't imagine, you know, doing that. It just sounded like two women who are very jealous of Ariana. And it really reminded me of Sheena and Lala. But I was going to say... It was unbelievable, Narelle. And they even blamed her 50% for the dog incident. For Maya.
What? Uh-huh. They blamed her for somebody else locking her dog in a room.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because she left her takeout container?
Correct. I mean,
okay. Maybe. Okay. You know what? Yes. As an animal owner myself, if my cat gets into some food that I left out, I do blame myself. I don't blame the dog. I don't blame anyone else for that. Like, I tend to throw my food remains away pretty quickly. So maybe 5% blame. 50?
50.
That's insane. That's actually insane.
Yeah. It was so blatant. And I thought, ooh, is Teddy just going with what the fans or what she's seen on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it now? Is she just kind of leaning into that? But yikes. It made me uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, I can't say I want to check it out, but I am morbidly curious.
Right.
So maybe I will. Wow. I wouldn't have expected that from Emily either. Is that crazy?
I know. That was the biggest thing for me because I love Emily. I love her. So I was kind of shocked how much like vitriol they kind of have toward her.
But they have a podcast together. Is this an actual podcast?
Yes.
Or just like episode? Okay.
So it's an extension of their two T's.
Okay. So obviously there's a meeting of the minds there. So maybe we shouldn't be too surprised if they have like similar opinions the same way you and I probably have similar opinions. But like, are they right? So
hello. I know. And then I thought, oh my God, this is what Sandoval lovers feel when they listen to us. Oh my God.
You know what? I don't think we have any Sandoval lovers that listen to us. So if we do, they're probably highly irritated by us.
We still love you guys. We do, but we're sorry.
Just confused by you.
Yeah.
I had a couple things I wanted to just mention real quick here that I read about this morning.
Ooh la la.
Well, you and I actually talked about this a couple days ago.
Oh.
Jenna Lyons returning.
Mm-hmm.
But she's returning on the agreement that nothing in her personal life is going to be filmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Narelle, I don't know what to say about this. I'm horrified. Why are we doing this?
I know what I want to say about this. Why are you coming back? The only interesting parts of Jenna that I really enjoyed was like seeing her apartment, like her, I loved her home, being in there, being in her closet, seeing her with her son.
Her personal life.
These are all parts that she wants to remove. Yeah.
The only parts you liked are the parts she's not going to show anymore.
Yeah. It kind of begs the question, too. Like, why do you want to be a reality star if you don't want to show your reality?
Right. And why do the producers want someone who won't show their reality?
Well, she was definitely one of the most popular, I should say the most interesting people on Roni. So I know why the producers wanted her. All I'm left to imagine is she wants to promote more of her brands, her merch and stuff. Like, why else would you want to come back? That's got to be it.
I can't. This is like the three-wick candle all over again.
No. Well, I mean, Jenna's got she's got her fingers in quite a few pots. Is that what it is? Fingers in the... Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. So we'll see, I guess. But I'm disappointed. I wanted to know about her girlfriend or fiance or whoever. I thought, yeah.
I mean, at least she gave us warning. At least we have the warning.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like a Kyle where it's like, it's all going to come out, guys. It's all going to come out. And then nothing.
You know what? That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
That's
so a good point. We can't get annoyed at her for it.
Other thing I just wanted to talk to you about quickly really is not Bravo related whatsoever. Gypsy Rose has separated from her husband.
Narelle, that took what, 3 days? That fire day?
Technically, it was like 3 months. I don't think anyone's surprised.
No, that's the perfect amount of time where you're like, oh, I see you as a person now.
Because she disappeared for a little while there. She went hard on the social medias when she first came out, to the point that public opinion kind of started to turn on her, and then she disappeared from the spotlight. Yeah, now they're getting separated, I guess. Oof. Married life to someone you met while you were in prison and never really got to know, and then you were never really engaged. You just got right into the marriage part. Maybe didn't work out so well, so...
Uh-huh. I think that will end up being much better for her. I wish her well. That is just a real bad situation all around, in my opinion. Have you been catching up on the Ruby Frankie case, the saga?
As I was waiting for you to come in and record, I was literally watching this TikTok about her journal entries.
Girl, this woman is a demon.
Yeah. Yeah. Like actual pure evil.
It does sound like she was under some sort of religious cult-like influence.
Something like that. She definitely had some very distorted religious beliefs centering around these two children. Like some of the TikToks and videos I've seen have moved me to tears.
Yeah, I know.
Those poor kids.
Like this woman was documenting it. So that does tell you she couldn't possibly have been really quite in her right mind.
The dad, the husband.
Claiming he knows nothing. Yeah. Saying he still loves her. What the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, his first question, like upon hearing the news that your kids were saved by the police from like what your wife was doing to them. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, where are they now? I'm so worried about them. Can I see them? He's like, where's my wife? I love her.
He is complicit. Bye. Go to jail too.
He has to be. I don't care if you weren't living in the house for a year or whatever he says. You fucking knew. I mean, all the videos that they'd filmed previously together, like you knew.
You knew. You knew what was going on in that brain of hers. So.
And you knew the path that she was going down.
Yes. If you want to catch up on this really sad story, trigger warning, child abuse, just Google Ruby Frank E, literally Franke. And it is horrific what she has done to her children. Awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that horrible note.
Yes. Should we get into Summer House?
Let's do Summer House, baby. I love it. I love the show. Do you?
Yeah. You know what I do love a lot? This group.
This group is so good.
Yeah. It's very cohesive. It feels like there's no real pockets of like, oh, so-and-so can't go over there and so-and-so can't go over here. Like everyone's talking to everybody. Everybody is, it seems very almost old school Summer House. I like that a lot.
All right. Let's get into it, girl. Summer House, Season 8, Episode 6, Start Your Engines. Oh my God, I want a Southern dinner so bad.
Oh, the deviled eggs threw me.
Yeah, it's a very Southern thing. I actually joined a Southern cooking Facebook group like a few years
ago. Of course you did. Of course I know. You did.
And they have deviled eggs with all their fancy meals.
I've only ever had them as like an hors d'oeuvre.
It is an interesting, totally different, like we cannot source that many Southern foods here, like proper Southern ingredients. So we just are not accustomed to that. But oh my gosh, all of it looks so good.
It really did, especially like I wanted those beans. The steak, that wasn't visually appealing to me.
The chicken fried steak?
I thought it was like country fried steak.
Country fried. Okay. Yep.
Looked gray and flat.
Yeah. Yeah. The gravy looked good.
Yeah. I mean, it probably tasted delicious.
It probably did. And I died when Lindsay, they're all sitting down around the table after Sierra, like, she almost bullied Kyle into sitting down. She's like, Kyle, Anyway, Lindsay toasts her and Sierra. I loved it. Everyone's like, oh, for the love.
She's like, cheers to me and Sierra. I mean, it's fair. Fair enough. I loved when Jesse Solomon started talking about, I forget who it was that asked him.
Paige.
If he's like looking for a girlfriend. Was it Paige? And he says, I would commit to the right girl for sure. I think that's like easy for him to say because I think deep down he really believes the right girl doesn't exist.
I agree. As,
you know,
yeah.
Most fuckboys don't. Yeah, that made me laugh.
I know. And Paige is like, so what are your three must-haves in a girl? And he's like, smart, care about things in the world, and organized.
Which I could almost make an argument here. Those are all under the same umbrella.
I agree.
So
yeah, yeah. And then he goes off and says, you know, I like to make big decisions, but I don't like to make little decisions all day. So I want someone who like orders for me.
He literally turned off every single woman watching and every single woman in the house. They were all like, ugh. Nobody wants to date somebody like that.
And Kyle, I laughed, but I was cracking up so hard. I rewound it. I watched it three times when he says, okay, Jesse, so now that you know Paige doesn't want to do the ordering, do you want to rethink how hard you were hitting on her in the first couple of weekends?
Like, how is that even a segue?
Craig's face, he just rolls his eyes. He's like, fuck.
All you have to do is look at everybody's reaction at that table. They were all incredulous. It was very chaotic, the way that he brought it up, and it did kind of start the awkward vibe. However, Amanda then just stabbed that awkward vibe right in the face and made it even more awkward.
Oh my God. What was this reaction? What was this, really?
Well, I kind of get it. I agree with Paige, who later on said that this isn't just about that one comment. Like, this is based on probably months and years of Kyle behaving this way and, you know, embarrassing her in situations like this. And I get that. I get the way that he doesn't have to do very much now to really piss Amanda right off.
I almost thought, is Amanda embarrassed in front of Craig? That's how I felt. Like, is so disrespectful to Craig, and Craig's here for the first time this summer, and she just seemed very sensitive, overly sensitive to it. I don't know. I did feel it was overboard.
I'm sure that's part of it.
Craig deals a ship. Like, Craig knows how to handle douchebags like this.
Craig didn't really seem that bothered by it either.
No. He's like, I want a girl who gets hit on. Who doesn't want to date someone who gets hit on? I love it.
If anything, Jesse was kind of, you could see he was a little annoyed, but like laughing it off.
Yeah, he's good at that, I think. Laughing it off.
When Kyle asked Jesse later on, like, why did Amanda react that way? Then Jesse was like, I mean, dude, come on. That was pretty outrageous what you did. How you did. You just threw me right under the bus there. It was a little weird.
I'm glad he said it. I'm like, thank you, Jesse. Finally, some honesty. Because, yeah, that's embarrassing to Jesse. But Amanda just took it next level. And I do agree with you. I think Paige nailed it. Like, Amanda's sick of his shit. But girl, come on.
When Craig was nonchalantly drinking water in the kitchen and like eavesdropping on Amanda telling Kyle off in the other room. And then the way Craig like runs to the bedroom to like rehash it with Paige. I'm like, that would be me. I would absolutely do that.
Absolutely. I love it. I love that Craig is kind of into that. I guess you kind of have to be on reality TV.
Probably, yeah.
I think the mullet is the thing that is destroying this relationship, personally.
Oh, I mean, it's probably not helping, but...
Oh, I can't with this goddamn mullet, the whole look, all the time. I'm like, Kyle, you look like something off of Trailer Trash Boys or Trailer Park Boys or whatever it is.
Did you like it more when he styled it into a mohawk? What would we call that?
Oh, it's the worst. Okay, let's move on from this because then it just gets weirder with Kyle. I think Kyle was tying one on. He hides it relatively well because they all go to a bar, and I liked it. It was Christmas in July, and he pulls Lindsay to the side in his drunken state, and he's like, I just want to understand from both points of view between you and Carl. And then he proceeds to tell Lindsay, this is awesome. I feel like Carl is so committed to seeing getting married through that he's pushing through some of the red flags. Mm-hmm. And then he corrects himself when Lindsay shoots him fire eyes. And he's like, I mean, the hardships.
That are red and shaped like flags.
Yeah.
Well, he started things off by ordering a gin. And Lindsay was like, she made a face and she said, oh, every time I have gin, I have extreme emotions. And I'm like, so do you like, you bathe in it? Do you just carry a flask around with you and chop yourself up all the time? Because that sounds like you all the time, Lindsay. Oh my but God. Would you ever purposely try to have this kind of conversation with Lindsay in a bar?
Like, exactly. Kyle, what the fuck are you thinking?
I don't know. It's not necessarily a bad conversation to have. I think, you know, that he made some good points. But maybe do it during the day. Like,
exactly.
Back at home.
When you're
not
both
at a bar.
Sober, you ding dongs.
Not in the vicinity of gin. Like, oh my God.
Gin makes me have lots of anger. Oh, want some, Lindsay? You want to have a chat? Talk about all those red flags you're emitting?
And so Lindsay tries to frame it as if she's just been giving it back to Carl, as if Carl is the one instigating it. And you know what? I could maybe believe this, actually, to be honest. Mm-hmm. However, it's her pretending not to understand why Carl has a problem with her drinking. That's where she loses me.
Yes.
She asks Kyle, why is it okay for him to judge me for drinking? And I'm just like, it's because he's sober. And your drunken behavior is triggering for him as a sober person. It just means you guys are not a match lifestyle-wise. So
exactly.
Let it go, Lindsay.
And again, Lindsay here is literally fully admitting that what she is doing to Carl in regards to questioning his drug use and his sobriety is basically out of pure spite. Because how dare he question me every time I have one drop of alcohol and I have an emotion other than happiness? Well, Lindsay, because it's a pattern, we have seen you become angry, Lindsay, literally every summer, every time you're intoxicated. So, hello?
I do not believe for a second if you were just becoming like increasingly happy every time you drink, I don't think Carl would have a problem. But it is exactly what you said. It's a pattern of behavior that is annoying to him as a sober person. There's no way around that. So either address the problem or get the fuck out of the relationship.
Actually, going back to what Jesse said, like, Carl, you have been witness to this pattern of behavior for years and years and years. Why you thought Lindsay would change for you is kind of the question here as well. So I do kind of put it on Carl also. These two are just not meant for each other, you know?
No, I believe that 100%. How long did it take you to notice that Danielle wasn't here? Because it took me a while. I didn't even miss her.
I know. Well, you know how I feel about Danielle. I really did not miss the cringiness.
Gabby was gone too.
I missed Gabby more than Danielle. Because I do like the Gabby-Carl-Lindsay connection. I like that. I think we need that, you know? But Danielle, it's just all about Danielle. It's too much. Too much Danielle for me. I'm like, hey guys, let's go party in the living room. I'm so cool. I'm so fun. I'm ready to fuck.
When they came home and there was no drunken dance party after the bar, I was like, wait, where's Danielle? And then I'm like, oh, she's not even here. Okay,
gotcha. With a light show.
Yeah.
Oh, that girl.
Do you know who I'm obsessed with? The little threesome of Sierra, West, and Jesse.
I love it. I love these people together.
I know. I am so here for Sierra and West dating and then having Jesse as like their sidekick.
It's like Sierra is an entirely different character on the show for me. It's like she's with fun people, lighthearted people. I think Paige, the last few seasons, was, you know, going through the Craig relationship, the Andrea relationship, and just like more toxic. But this is like young Sierra is having fun. Single Sierra is having fun. I love it.
I think being around fun, lighthearted, carefree people brings it out of her. She probably just kind of absorbs the feelings of people around her.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't we all really, I suppose. But laying in bed was not doing it for us.
No. Really loved that they FaceTimed Carl. Dude. And Lindsay's like, well, I'm just going to take off. I'm just going to go. Is that my fiance on the phone? I got to go clean the kitchen. I've got some cutting boards to scour and clean in the kitchen. I got to go.
I did not think twice about this. This is so something I would do. I'd be like, aw, they're happy talking to Carl. I'm going to go like, okay, I'm going to go get ready before he arrives, or I'm going to go clean the kitchen. But they're like, what the fuck, Lindsay?
I thought it was weird. I thought it was so weird.
I didn't.
Because they had all she had texted him was like, when are you going to be here? And he texted her and it was like, I'll be there in like 40 minutes. And she was like, okay, cool. They didn't FaceTime. Nope. Maybe if they had just FaceTimed themselves and she left, they'd be like, yeah, that's cool.
That's fine. That's true. Yeah. I just didn't really think too much of it. But then I'm like, I guess it is really weird. Jesse is so fucking funny because he says, as Lindsay's walking away, you know, I think she's just hungry for a fight.
Carl. Yeah.
Oh, so cute.
And then in the other bedroom, we have another threesome going on with Amanda, Paige, and Craig.
Uh-huh. The happiest Amanda has appeared all season.
Yes, it is. Because she's talking about somebody else's relationship falling apart. So they strangely seem to be understanding Lindsay's behavior a little more in this episode. But Paige said that she's never felt as much sympathy for her as she does in this moment.
Why the shift? Because last week, Amanda particularly was like, fuck off, Lindsay. Like the undertone was fuck off, Lindsay. I am so team Carl here. And now that Craig's saying it, she's sitting there going, yes. Is it because Gabby wasn't there or Danielle to support Lindsay? Like they didn't want to look like mean girls? Or do you think it's sincere?
I truly do think it's sincere. And it seems to be based on the sex, the lack of sex.
Uh-huh.
Also the fact that Lindsay came to them and like what's honest and vulnerable about that really seems to have opened Amanda and Paige up to Lindsay a little bit more.
That's true.
And I don't even think that was on purpose, honestly, because Lindsay seems surprised by their support in that arena.
I always found Lindsay to be a very open book. So the fact that they're surprised by her openness and vulnerability was fascinating to me because I have never perceived her as any other way. Sure, sometimes she can be stoic, but if anything, she's almost a little too unfiltered at times. So I think there's just a disconnect.
But that might be what we see as the viewer. Maybe they don't have too many moments like in a room or in a three-way conversation where Lindsay's like, first of all, not yelling or screaming at them, but is just emoting to them about like issues she's having and not trying to cover it up is like, oh, but you know, we're good. We're so happy. It's actually fine. I hate sex anyways. Right, like,
right. That's a very good point. And that is something she does. I think you're onto something. I was surprised when Paige said, I think Lindsay has to put on a certain persona for Carl. And I was like, holy shit. Paige is a wise girl. Because I think she's right. I think she does. And you can even see it when Carl comes. She's like, hi, honey. Almost fake. And so when she gets drunk, all of that resentment and the realness just comes flowing out of her.
And like the flip side of that is I think Carl does it too.
Yes.
I don't really think what we're seeing, at least on camera between the two of them, I don't think either of them is being real with each other.
Totally.
I don't think that's really Carl. And I don't think that's really Lindsay.
Like I think Carl's sober or not. I don't think he's Mr. Nice, Mr. Perfect, like going for a jog and then going to mow the lawn and paint the white picket fence. I think Carl's got an edge to him. You know, I like him. I think he's a good, at least I like him on the show. He's real. But it is. It's coming off too. Here's your favorite word, Nell. Too cheese sticky. Okay? I don't like it.
Oh. Yeah, there's that word again. It is. It is. And I have a note later on that I'm going to bring up.
Okay.
But I'm going to save it for later, Sarah. I'm going to save it for later.
I like surprises. I'm going to skip to where we have to talk about Muppet Mouth OG Austin Kroll. Kyle's downloading West on all of the chaos that Austin created for Sierra in the house. You know, Sierra and Craig go on their own together to go pick up booze. And she says, you know, I am way past Austin, but I do not want to be embarrassed again, especially on TV. I got some major backlash. So I'm treading very carefully with West. And I thought, I liked how she broke that fourth wall. I like how she's being honest. And I like that she's being vulnerable.
I think it really put it into perspective for us, the viewer, as well. Like, when you date somebody on one of these shows or in reality TV, it does stay with you forever. Like, we do not forget.
No.
Women especially will get persecuted for it. So, obviously, she's very much ascribing to the whole, like, twice bitten, once shy.
One.
No. Why do I even... Why do I try to do this? Once bitten, twice shut? I don't know. Whatever. You guys know what I'm talking about, okay? She is just trying to learn from her mistakes. And I love the way that West is trying to learn these things about Sierra. Like, he's so, I don't know what the word is. Like, you can see he
thoughtful.
Obviously has long-term ideas about Sierra. Like, I think he really likes her. And he just seems really... really keen on getting to know her and getting to know how to like help her bring her walls down. And I think that's very sweet.
It's almost like he's just exuding consent and not adoration, but respect. You know,
yes, I've never respect. Yeah.
I've never really seen a guy on one of these shows be so fucking respectful as West has. He has never once like sexualized her inappropriately. He's never said anything behind her back, like to the bros. He's just a very respectful guy, and I adore him.
He's very clear, forthcoming, upfront about the respect and about how much he likes her. He's not doing that thing that we see on these shows so often where guys try to hide how they feel or girls try to hide how they feel. There's no games with Wes. He's just being honest about all of it, and it's refreshing.
The most refreshing male character I have seen on TV in so long.
Yeah.
I think he's my sweetheart. My America's sweetheart, darling.
And then we got to compare that to your previous sweetheart, Mr. Radke, pulling up in the red car, surrounded by his midlife crisis. His mustache, Sarah. I need to ask you. Because you have not been a fan of the other mustaches in the Bravoverse. I do know that you are a fan of Mr. Carl Radke.
Dude.
And I was struck by that mustache today as I was watching. And I'm like, I need to ask Sarah her thoughts on this mustachioed man.
He out-mustached West for me in this. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. In a good way?
Oh, in a bad way. No. Yeah, okay.
Nothing was good about this mustache. It gave me the ick. No. Why?
Seeing him pull up in that car with his little smile gave me the ick.
Narelle?
Did not like it. Did not enjoy.
I couldn't. I don't like it. And when Carl came, the vibes changed for sure. It was an air of fakeness. So there's something to be said about that. Sierra in the inflatable costume, though, is the best thing ever. And then, of course, when she takes it off, she looks like the most insane looking human.
Literally, she's like, of course I could go sexy, but that's boring. Minutes before stepping out of the orange balloon, and she's in the sexiest, cheekiest little outfit I've ever seen in my life.
I'm in love with Sierra. I'm in love with her.
I might be as well. I don't know who I love more, her or West, but I think that they need to have children immediately.
Yes.
Procreate.
Yes. Bread those genes all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you want to talk about Paige and Craig's finances again, or?
Okay, I'm not so much interested in Craig and Paige's finances as I am interested in Amanda and Kyle's. And the way that this woman, like, she worked for free in the beginning of Loverboy. I don't think she gets enough credit. No. She basically kept them afloat on her own salary while Kyle started his company, and then she gave up her career. Started to work full-time for Loverboy, and I think she does probably do a lot more of the design and stuff behind the scenes than we're really aware of. And Kyle doesn't really give her any credit for that.
Ever, because he is just a workaholic and he thinks that that image he's giving off is what really matters. It's not about the value of what you do for people like him. It's how many hours you put in and how many times you're away and all of those things. Like, I loved when Amanda said, oh yeah, limoncello, my idea, our number one hit. I'm like, because that's the flavor I would want.
And she's never really come across as resentful of that fact. Like, this is kind of the first time in my memory, she's ever really even talked about it. So now they're finding themselves with a very successful company, but not a successful marriage. Mm-hmm. So it's almost as if, I think, anyways, it would be a good idea for Amanda to leave Loverboy for their marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I could see Kyle becoming very resentful of Amanda. Like, I bet the limoncello probably pisses him off in a way.
Maybe. Maybe that the resentment is actually coming from Kyle regarding Amanda working there. I just don't think it's a great thing for their marriage.
No.
They definitely need to have a little bit more space. I think it would be the best thing for them if Amanda stopped working there, maybe got another part-time job for herself, or, I mean, they gotta be making enough money where she doesn't have to work. Come on.
I would assume so with the show.
She's ready for babies, and this man, I think that that's what her resentment comes down to and why she's so angry at him. Him trying to say that Amanda's not ready for children because she doesn't have good work ethic at Loverboy. Ooh. I would be livid by that because I'm not entirely sure what her actual role is at Loverboy. So I don't want to like discount it, but don't compare answering emails to raising babies. Like, I'm pretty sure Amanda, if it's something that she wants to do, will pour her entire self into it. Maybe she's just not passionate about your stupid little Loverboy business, Kyle.
Yeah, no doubt. And she sees what it does to him, I'm sure. So that is a huge piece of it. Loverboy is probably the big bone of contention here. Good catch, Nar. Like, good thought. I really agree with you. Never thought about it, but you're right. It's not even the show, I don't think. I think it is Loverboy.
I never thought about it either until this episode where she kind of, it's almost like she let it slip. She wasn't even trying to make a point of it.
Yeah. And Paige was kind of like, whoa. But Paige must have known, don't you think? Or was she, do you think they kind of planned to bring this out?
I don't know. If they did, I think they're very good actors.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Amanda, she probably puts up with a lot more than we really realize because she does come across as very whiny.
She does. Very childlike at times. Yeah.
A little bit. But I think it just is a lot of that. You know, we forget about how much she actually is putting up with to get to that point.
Dude, Kyle shoving West while they're riding their little, racing their little tricycles round.
Wow.
What a dink. Yeah. It's that kind of behavior. She's probably like, what the fuck? And then this dude goes around for hours, seemingly, blaming the sunglasses for cutting West, not himself.
I was getting so pissed off the way he was like, oh, your sunglasses stabbed you.
They really got you, hey? Oh, my God.
Skin's still on the glass. It's literally like the edge of your sunglasses cut you. Nope. It's like you pushed his face into the ground, into his sunglasses. That's what it's actually like,
Kyle. He shoved him, and there was blood everywhere. It was gruesome.
If you actually sit down and think about it, every single problem in this episode was caused by Kyle.
Yes, he was in torment. He was on a mish. He was on a mish to kill people and make Lindsay go ballistic and drive Amanda crazy and spur Jesse into a fight. The guy was on a roll, okay?
As if I were his wife, yeah, I might be a little annoyed, not gonna lie.
Yeah, because we say, you know, Amanda can be childish, but who really is the childish one? Mr. Mohawk Mullet. Okay?
Yeah. I loved when she was sitting with Paige and she looked over and she was like, Kyle looks like we paid him to be here as the entertainment.
It did. It really did.
It did. Yeah.
Oh. So there was one little thing, and I don't know if you picked up on it. A couple times this episode, Craig asked Paige, like, are you into me?
No, I saw it. I saw one time at the bar when he was like, do you love me? How much do you love me? And she made a little face like, a lot. Now shut up.
Yeah.
I find that kind of behavior really annoying in a long-term relationship. I love you as much as when I told you 3 hours ago that I love you. Like, stop it.
Yeah, I almost thought it might be worrisome, and a bit of their discussion kind of worried me about the future of their relationship. But then I thought, in confessional, here's Paige. Like, don't spend your money on me, Craig. Okay? Just, like, invest it in an engagement ring.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is more significant than Paige being like, shut up. Yes, I love you. So, but I'm just going to cross my fingers because Craig, again, looks so fucking hot in this episode.
He does. He really does. With that, like, grease smeared on his face.
Take like, me yes. now.
Oh, I, yes. Yeah. I would like some of that, please.
Oh, we need a Sandoval breathwork session right now. So at the very end of the episode, we see Paige and Amanda call Lindsay over. They're like, girl, get over here. Like they're besties. And again, more empathy toward Lindsay. Paige really kind of embraced her. What did you think of this?
I found it interesting. Okay, I want to keep in mind too, I read Carl's reply to the whole sex thing. I'm going to read it out to you here. So Carl says, as far as I remember, I mean, I think we only had sex one time over the summer. Twice what? Total, but one time in the house. So he's referring to this, like, filming summer season. Yeah. He said, yeah, I mean, I think that says more about the dynamic of the relationship than I think it says about the sex itself. I think she would promote that she's all about the sex. Mm-hmm. And I experienced something different in the relationship, he added of Lindsay. When we did have sex, I thought it was pretty good. But the last 7 to 8 months of our relationship, every week being in couples therapy, the conflict and the ups and the downs, it was hard sometimes to come together and do that, which is fair. That is a fair mm-hmm. point. He does seem to be making a claim here, though, that Lindsay's not quite the instigator either.
Ah, I can see this because she's so tightly wound all the time.
Yeah. So circling back to what you said about Paige and Amanda, I'm guessing that these are two women that probably put a high value on sex with their partners.
I think so. I know Kyle and Amanda fuck like rabbits.
How?
Just from previous summer houses. Like, okay. It was nonstop. It's like, holy
shit. Right.
I'm just going to look up the age difference here. Between Paige and Lindsay, 31, okay.
Lindsay's got to be almost 40.
I think so. 37, okay. Paige is 31, Lindsay is 37. I must say, Lindsay is probably reaching more into that, the end of that, the height of her, or no, this is where we peak, isn't it? Oh my God.
Yeah. And I think too, it depends on the relationship that you're in, whether totally. You're like super sexual or not, that vibe being off between Carl and Lindsay, especially if Carl is saying it was kind of like that for a while, it just speaks to the toxicity of the relationship. Like, it obviously wasn't working out. But I do think that was the first time that Paige and Amanda probably really heard Lindsay's side of it. And maybe that's what has just evoked all the sympathy. I don't know.
The only thing they could actually relate to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. They also kind of imply Carl was being a little bit fake, too, didn't they?
Yes, which kind of ties into the comment that I was saving for later about Carl. Carl made a comment to the guys about how I'm open to getting anger management and, like, I'll do all these things. And the guys kind of hold him, like, stop him. And they're like, well, do you think you need anger management? You don't seem like a really angry guy. I do wonder about the anger management comment. Like, is this something Lindsay's gaslighting him into thinking he needs? Oh. Or is this behavior that Carl is hiding from the camera?
Hmm. That's a very good question. And I wouldn't even know where to guess. Like, there is something to this because last week when he was apologizing to Lindsay, he said, you know, I am so sorry for getting so frustrated with you that it made you feel this way. So, and that was a scene we didn't see, of course, in the car. So I don't know. I'm not sure. It's making me question things. So, and it is making me look at the situation a little bit differently, even though I absolutely think these two are terrible together. I'm still definitely, oh, I don't know. Now I'm like, is, Is Lindsay just being honest or is Carl hiding it?
I'm still squarely on Team Carl. Like, don't get me wrong. So is Mac, mm-hmm. if you hear him in the background. But having said that, I have always sensed a darkness in Carl, whether that is, you know, because of his addictions, because of his trials and tribulations through that. But even now that he's sober, I do sense an anger there. It could be just because he's in a relationship that's dragging him down. But the fact that he made the comment, that's yes. the only thing that I keep coming back to.
Yeah, this is a hard one to kind of figure it out because now I know Lindsay is quite honest, but we have to remember she accused him of being on something twice, okay?
Yeah, I know. It has thrown me for a loop the way Paige has said, like, I am very much on your side, Lindsay. I'm like, what?
It has thrown me for a loop because I want to believe in Paige because I think she's a very intelligent person. But is there more that we wasn't shown? I don't know.
I usually do believe most of what Paige has to say. So that confuses me a little bit.
Yeah. But guys, that was the end of Summer House for this week. And it's just getting more and more fascinating, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't expect to be questioning my allegiance to Carl quite this soon, so it's getting very, very interesting. Don't worry, you guys. Okay, stop it. Okay, I can see you guys writing me hate comments right now. I'm still Team Carl, I promise.
Yes, we are both Team Carl, okay?
Yeah.
We do not approve of Lindsay's behavior. All we're saying is maybe Carl needs to be a little more forthcoming with his whatever.
Yeah, maybe just be yourself. TV,
just
Carl.
Don't put on a Joker smile to me, okay? Just like come in and shave the mustache, for God's sake.
And get your ears pinned back. Oh, no. Oh, too far. Too far. Should I cut that out? I don't know.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Holy moly.
Speaking of big ears, the Easter Bunny is coming to town.
I don't know where that came from. Yes, I do. I'm a judgmental bitch. Okay.
So am I. Okay. That's why we're here.
Hope everybody is either going to have a great weekend or a great Easter, whatever it is that you celebrate or don't celebrate.
Make sure you guys check out the other episodes we released a couple days ago or yesterday, VPR and The Valley.
Yes. Head on over there. And please give us a like or a subscribe, 5-star rating, a follow, wherever it is that you're listening to us. It helps us out so much. Yeah.
It helps us out more than you guys could even imagine. Thank you to everyone who has been rating, reviewing, sending us notes in our Spotify, by the way. Oh my gosh. Our hearts are melting.
Literally, every time it happens, I like screenshot it and like send it to each other like, oh my God. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, guys, until next time, stay truthful.
But not hopeless. Happy Easter.
This cat is going crazy. Okay, love you.
Bye, love you.